Welcome to Corridors. This week, learning workplace discipline at university. The questions this cast answers are, how can I use college now to make work easier later? What can I do to make managing myself easier at college? And what else will I learn at college other than my subject?
Finally, after years of waiting, The Effective Manager in book form is available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and your other retail booksellers, as well as signed copies are available on our website, manager-tools.com. If you want to know the basics of how to manage others effectively in book format, including Kindle and ebook format as well, we encourage you to buy, read, and then implement the guidance in The Effective Manager.
So, Danny, you and I have both been to university, except you called it college and I called it university.
And university sounds much smarter.
But I remember, particularly in my first 3 months, that learning adulting was way harder than any of my classes.
Oh, absolutely.
Just learning grocery shopping and laundry and those kind of things that you have to do again. Like, I remember it being dinner time and thinking, oh, I've already made dinner 3 times this week. Now I have to do it again.
Well, I didn't have to make dinner because I lived on campus, so I just had to go to the cafeteria. But I do remember in my first month staying up all night several times thinking like that made me really cool and all collegiate and, you know, fun, and then bombing my Latin exam. So yeah, you get all kinds of stuff that you learn at college or university besides academics, just learning life skills. I often think that that's equally, if not more important, of an experience for kids, and I say kids, for students at college than the academics, because for so many of them, it is the first time that they're doing a lot of that stuff because their parents have done it their whole life up until then, right? So it's a great time to learn that discipline, that workplace discipline that you're going to use the rest of your life.
So we're going to cover applying a professional schedule, getting your work done first, and practicing self-management. And your comment about staying up all night, yeah, you should not have done that.
No.
We recommend you apply a professional schedule.
And I never did it again after that first month.
And there is no actual rule that students should sleep till noon. Like, it doesn't, there's no rule in the rule book that says between 18 and 23, you should sleep till noon. It doesn't say that, you know, you should only have classes between 10 and 2 and that you should study till midnight or after midnight. And there isn't even a really good incentive for studying that way. You don't get an extra point or a stronger grade on your paper if you worked on it after midnight. Like, you may think you're getting cool points, but you don't get anything in terms of the professor doesn't give you a B instead of a B minus because he knows that you worked on it after midnight. This is not how it works. And lots of people say that they work better later in the day. They say they're night owls. But all the research says that the students who get up in time for a work day, sometime between 6 and 8 a.m., get better grades. One tip to help you if you think that you would like to get better grades, but getting up in the morning is hard for you, is sign up for morning classes. Because if you are going to go to class, then you have to get up. And once you're up, you tend not to go back to bed for hours at a time. And the other advantage is those classes are generally smaller because everybody else is in bed. And so you get more attention. You can ask more questions. Just smaller classrooms are always better.
If you get used to that kind of workday schedule that we're going to recommend, which is classes and studying during the day, then the other benefit is your nighttime is free for fun.
Hey.
As opposed to sleeping until noon and studying until after midnight. Then you miss the fun because most fun happens not between 8 and noon.
Yeah, nobody else is up before noon, so there's definitely nothing happening. If you've got fear of missing out, like, there's nothing happening between 8 and midday.
If you're on campus and you have a cafeteria situation, that's usually when the that's the best time to get the good food too, because by the time everybody else is up, the good stuff is gone.
Good point.
In fact, colleges are recommending to their students that they study for about 2 to 3 hours for every hour that they are in class. So for students in the States, if you're carrying a 15 credit load, that means you're in class for about 15 hours a week. And multiply that times 3 hours, that means you've got a total work week of about 45 hours, which sounds an awful lot a real job. It's amazing how that works.
And amazingly, everybody else manages to fit their work week in Monday to Friday between 8 and, you know, 6, I guess.
Not a lot of after midnight, right? Not if they're doing a good job.
So if you know that it's 45 hours roughly that you should be working and that it can fit in between Monday and Friday, 8 till 6, then you'll have all the weekend and all the time after 6 o'clock to do all of the activities that you want to do. And there's 168 hours in the week, by the way. So if you are sleeping 8 hours a night and you're working 45 hours, there's actually a bunch of hours left over for you to have some fun.
So we recommend that you schedule your day, your school day, between 8 a.m. and 6 p.m. every day, right? That's the bottom line, Wendy, right? Yeah. That you have that time scheduled, because you won't be able to get all your work done in 45 hours unless you're scheduling it ahead of time. I mean, this goes back to some of our earliest casts around schedule important things first. If the first thing you do is allocate 3 hours to each hour that you have in class, then you're going to get that done. If you put that on your schedule first, then that's what you'll get done. If you just try to fit it in around other stuff, then you're probably not going to get it done.
Yeah. And at different times, you may have to move the emphasis one way or another. There might be something coming up in one class where you have to spend some more time on it, or a period when one class doesn't have as much work. But the 45-hour thing is a good place to start. And it really helps if Monday morning you get up, you haven't worked since Friday afternoon, and you think, what am I supposed to be doing? And you look on your calendar and it says Geography 101. And you look on your in your Geography 101 folder and it says study for test, then you don't have to think about what to do. You just do it. And it's way easier.
Absolutely. That's, I'll tell you, I think I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it on cast, but I've definitely said it to conference attendees. I just do what my calendar tells me to do. I go where my calendar tells me to go. And it's amazing when you get used to that, how much it really frees you up. Like, I don't think about where am I flying on Monday, because I've already thought about that. It's already on my calendar. The flight is booked. The ground transportation is done, is determined. The hotel I'm going to is determined. It's on my calendar. And so on Monday, I just get up and I look at my calendar and I go where my calendar tells me to go. And I get on the flight my calendar tells me to get on. And I go to the hotel my calendar tells me to go to. And I don't think about that, because I thought about it 6 weeks ago when I put it all on my calendar. It really becomes kind of a way of life. It's kind of a joke in our house that my husband, if he wants time with me, yeah, put it on my calendar. I'm just doing what my calendar, he's like, what's going on today? I'm like, what's going on today is what my calendar tells me is going on today. And when you don't have to think about that stuff because you've already thought about it, it really kind of changes the whole way you think about time, and you become much less reactive and much less stressed and intense, because you know you've already planned out your time, and now you're just implementing the plan that you wrote 2 weeks ago or a month ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm. The benefit of being in college when you learn this, of course, is that the schedule is the same for a semester at a time or a term at a time. Unlike work, where things change a lot. So I had 5 meetings on my calendar today and I didn't do one of them. One of them got halved One of them, we did something else other than what we were scheduled to do. And work is kind of like that. There's all these changes that happen. Fortunately, Danny invariably gets on the flight that she's to the place that she thought she was going to. But in college, the schedule is the schedule for a semester. And so you can plan your week for week 12 before week one, because you know when your classes are gonna be.
And it's a great, because of that too, Wendy, it's a great time to learn this skill, because really that's all it is. It's a skill, it's a behavior. And college is a great time to learn it when it's not as up in the air as mm-hmm. real work, because you're not having to make all of those changes. And so you learn the skill of planning out your time and planning out your work in a less, I guess, changeable environment, right? Mm-hmm. Changing environment. So that's great. And here's the other benefit. We briefly mentioned this already, but with this approach of scheduling your time, like a normal workday kind of schedule, you don't need to use your weekends, right? Too many of us work all night and all weekend, and that's not good for us, health-wise and mental health-wise and relational. Health-wise, nor is it good for our productivity. I mean, again, there's all kinds of studies that talk about how after a certain amount of time working, your without a rest, your productivity actually drops. We need downtime. Our brain needs time to process and make connections between things. And often just not thinking about something gives you lots more insight into it, because that's sometimes a lot of times when creativity activates, right? When you're not mm-hmm. thinking about something, and you just need time for your relationships also. So if you have to work at a job on the weekend or in the evenings while you're in school, while you're in college, you still get some downtime. I mean, I don't know about you, Wendy. I think you worked during college, but I worked about 15 or 20 hours a week all through college on campus. It was completely doable. They weren't like really hard jobs that required me to be super focused. I'm my first semester or my first year when I was a freshman, I worked in the cafeteria, not mentally or super challenging job. I mean, refilling the soup basin was not hard, putting dishes in the dishwasher. I mean, not fun, but it certainly wasn't super hard. And then the rest of my time in school, actually, I was a campus tour guide, which was actually really fun. But again, was not really mentally taxing. So you get lots of downtime, even if you are also working while going to school. And I think I've read some studies that say actually the number of students who are working while they're going to college or university is actually on the decline. Like every year, less and less
oh, really?
Students are. Yeah, which kind of makes me sad.
So. Oh, I don't know. I don't know if that makes me sad or not. I didn't work during college. I'm old enough that I went to college for free, in inverted commas, and I was lucky enough that my parents gave me money each semester. It wasn't much, but it was good for a student. And so I didn't have to work. And some days I think I wish I had, because I could relate to that experience more. But I did work during the holidays, during the vacations, from the first day I was on vacation until the last day. So I did have that experience of actually having to be somewhere, which was a very good experience and served me well later.
Absolutely. We just recorded a cast a couple of weeks ago about the importance of those first jobs and what you learn.
Exactly. So, of course, using all your time to study, if you've not got a job or if you have a job and you spend the rest of the time studying, that is not good for you. It's stressful and it becomes debilitating in the sense that you're always going over the same things and you're always fighting the same battle with the same amount of energy. And so it gets harder. So if you try and schedule a 45-hour week, you begin to limit the amount of time that you have for study. Even if right now you're doing 100 hours and you just bring it down to 75, that limiting time available to do things is a really good lesson, because we know that work expands to fill the time available. And so if you start saying, I'm going to stop at 7 p.m., then your brain has to concentrate harder in the time when you are studying. It has to work out, okay, there's this much and I have this long to do it, so this is how fast I need to work. And it's weird that our brain works that out without us really knowing it, but it does. And becoming efficient with the time that you're working is another skill that you will feel really blessed to have when you go to the workforce.
I think that's why people say things like, oh, I work better under pressure. I work better when I'm writing that paper that's due at 8 at 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's because they're experiencing this, right? Which is They know they have to turn that paper in at 8, so they get way more efficient. Well, you can create that same outcome by just giving yourself a deadline that's not the 8 a.m. class, but That's actually maybe 5 o'clock p.m. 2 days before the paper is due. You can create that sense of, I have a hard deadline, by setting them those deadlines for you, which makes you more efficient and still allows you to sleep and doesn't make you all stressed out that you're working on papers an hour before the class is due.
If you tend to set deadlines or goals for yourself and then not do them or not follow your own instructions, find a buddy and tell them. And that helps a lot for the
people. An accountability partner.
Exactly. For the kind of people that find that hard, a partner is often a good thing. And you'll also have noticed that 8 till 6 is not a 9-hour day that a 45-hour week would require. There's an extra hour in there for lunch, an actual lunch with food and a little rest time. Whether you cook at home or if you have a cafeteria, is it as important to eat as it is to sleep? And taking lunch gives you time to read a novel or hang out with your friends or watch your TV or whatever it is that feels like I can eat and do this, or I can just concentrate on eating. It's an interesting meditation.
Yes.
But the only thing is, you got to remember to start working again when the hour is up.
Setting that hard deadline, that hard stop.
Exactly.
So our second recommendation is to get your work done first. There are always distractions at college. There's always somebody to go do something with, particularly, I think, and maybe I'm just biased because this was my experience, but living on campus, I lived on campus all 4 years because my school required us to live on campus. And when you are surrounded by 200 people in a dorm, there's always something to do. Yeah. There's always somebody to talk to or go grab a coffee with or whatever, right? And even in summertime, if you look at college calendars online, even in the summer, they have all kinds of things going on. I think when you looked at the local college where you live, and there are 49 activities on their calendar for today.
Yeah. Like, you are never going to go to everything.
No. I mean, even if you said, all I'm going to do is go to all of the stuff that's on the school calendar, you couldn't even do all of that. And then there's things that your friends want you to do, and there's things that maybe you want to do that your friends don't want to do. There's always something more interesting and more exciting to do in a day. And I think a big part of college, and I think this is part of the reason why my school required us to live on campus, is learning how to prioritize those things, learning how to say no to certain things that you want to do. You could go to everything and never go to class and never study, and you would still not get to everything or do everything. And that's not going to change for the rest of your life. There's always going to be something more interesting, more exciting, more fun to do than what you have time to do. And part of the grown-up world, part of the tall person world, is deciding what you're going to do, what's the most important, and sticking to it and focusing on your priorities. That's how you get stuff done. I always think about, you mentioned, Wendy, 168 hours in a week. I always think, you know, Elon Musk has the same 168 hours in a week that I do. Mark Zuckerberg has the same 168 hours in a week that I do. And the reason why they get so much more done is they have determined what's important to them. I mean, I might not always agree with what they've determined to be important, but you can't deny that they're getting stuff done and they're accomplishing things and in the exact same number of hours that all of us have. And that's because they decide what they're going to do, what's the most important first, and they follow through on it.
Exactly. And for a lot of people in a lot of countries, you're paying for your education. And that's what makes it a priority. Whether it's you paying or someone else is paying for you, your career will end up depending on your grades. And you need to get the value for money from that vast investment that someone is making in you. And college is way harder later in life, way harder. There's way more constraints. People that go back, when they've got family or, they've been doing something else for 10 years, it's much harder to give those things up and really study. So later. So get it done now.
Again, living in a dorm, there's always going to be somebody who wants to go out and party every night and they have a really bad GPA. And that person is going to face the consequences of their decisions at some point, right, in life. And you will too. You don't have to join them at that zero GPA. If your friends want to go to the park and, play frisbee golf, I think that's a cool thing that college students do, isn't it? Frisbee golf.
I had never heard of it
You've
before
never
I
heard
came here.
of the young people these days? When I was in school, it was hacky sack. I'm completely dating myself. Right. If they want to go and hang out in the park and play frisbee golf or hacky sack or Pokemon Go, oh, there's a timely reference. And you're still in the middle of your prime study hours, a time what you've said that you're going to study and you know that's the best time for you to study, then you have to learn how to say no or tell them you'll join them later. Getting your work done first, I think, is probably one of the most important things that I learned outside of the schoolwork itself, the academics that I learned in college.
Yeah, and it's nice because it's really easy to know what your priority is. Like, it's your education. Whereas later in life, deciding what your priority might be gets a lot more fuzzy, in my experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're one of the ones who is lucky, like Wendy, and didn't have to have another job outside of school during school time, then really that is your priority.
Yeah, sure, only job.
Yes.
So the last thing we are going to recommend is that you practice self-management. So we'll describe what self-management is first. So for most people, their parents or a caregiver manage them through their school days until they leave high school or whatever you call the equivalent at 18. It's a parent or another caregiver who gets you up, who makes your lunch, who checks your homework, who makes sure you get to school on time when you're 5 and you can't do any of that for yourself. When you're 16, the words might be different. Like, they might not say, "Have you got your Thomas the Tank Engine little backpack? And do you have your favorite toy?" But, some of it is the same. Like, did you bring any papers home from school that I need to see? And it's possible that, you've grown up enough that your parents only have to check if you've done the things. So they might not come in and get you up, but they expect to see you at the breakfast table at sort of the time when you need to be there for school. And so even though that kind of relationship changes, you still have someone else managing you in some senses. They're making sure that you're up, they're making sure that you go to school, they're making sure that they read the notes home, all of those kind of things. And when you get to college, those people are still there. The people who have cared for you for the first part of your life are still there. And it's really easy to carry on relying on them, to think, "Oh, well, my mom's got me up every day for the last however many years, and so she can call me every day and wake me up."
And there are some people who do that.
Yeah. Or, "It's all right, I don't need to cook because my mom's going to come over at the weekend and she's got 7 meals that she put in the freezer for me." And again, I saw something the other day, and the child was going off to college, and the mom said, "You have to text me twice a day, morning and evening, so I know you're safe." I was like, when I went to college, we had to go to the phone box, and I had 10 pence once a week. And I kind of phoned and went, "Hey, I'm here." That was all there was time for.
Yeah. When I went to college, my mom said, "Don't feel like you have to call me. I wish you would, and I would love to hear from you, but that's not why you're going. So call me if you want or don't.
Nice.
I've heard of stories. I know one mother who called her 24-year-old son every morning after, this was after he graduated from college and he was working, and she still called him every morning at 6 o'clock to make sure he was awake and going to work. I mean, that's crazy.
That is crazy. Not to be morbid, but eventually that person is not going to be there. And potentially the son is like 35 and still being woken up by his mom. And what's he going to do when she's not there if he hasn't learned that skill for himself?
Well, that's the irony of parenthood, right? Is that you have them and you raise them so that they don't need you anymore. I mean, that's the whole goal of parenthood. And college is, again, a great time to learn this because you're still in a relatively safe environment, right? I think that's your point, Wendy, is there is still that safety net there that if you do get into too much trouble or if you do get, you know, too far out of the scope of control, there are still parents or professors or the school, often schools have, you know, the counselors or that safety net that is there to help. Because when you get out into the workforce, that safety net becomes a lot less reliable. I mean, you can still have counselors and stuff like that, but they're not built into the system. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to go out and build your own safety net, so to speak. And so college, university is a great time to start learning that self-management while you still have a safety net there to catch you if you get a little bit too off track.
Yeah, and there's people that are going to point out that you're off track, and also being off track is not the end of the world in college. If you go for 3 weeks without going to a class, hopefully the professor will get in contact with you and say, hey, you haven't been coming to class. But also missing three classes, you could probably make that up. If you miss 3 weeks of work, guess what? You don't get to make that up.
Absolutely.
Self-management means being in the right place at the right time with the right stuff. If you're supposed to be in a class at 8 a.m., it means getting there at 5:02 or 10:02 so that you have time to get situated, the right textbook, a notebook and a pen, a clear head, and, you know, you've been to the bathroom, you don't need to fidget, and you're ready for class. And by the way, yes, a notebook and a pen, because there is a whole bunch of research that students who use a notebook and a pen to take notes get better grades than the ones who use laptops.
That last bit about the right place at the right time with the right stuff, I'm amazed at how every week at our conferences, adult grown professionals, I mean, people who've been in the professional workplace for a decade or more, come to a conference where, you know, their company is investing at least $1,000, if not more, depending on how many days they're coming to. And they come in with nothing in their hands, no notebook, no pen, just literally themselves in their clothes. I mean, just amazes me.
Yeah, but the no pen thing is just astounding to me. It's just when they say, can I borrow a pen? It's just, what are you, seven?
Yes. Self-management also means managing your time to ensure you meet your deadlines, right? Mm-hmm. We've said this previously, you're not going to do a good job on that paper if you start at 10 and finish at 4 a.m. And they're not there just to make your life hard. They're there to teach you something, for you to learn how to communicate in the written word. And a big part of that, too, is to teach you how to manage your time. If you have a 25-page paper due at the end of the term and you wait until 2 days before, you're going to struggle to finish that 25 pages, right? So learning how to manage your time over the course of the term to get that paper done. And papers have been tested since antiquity. This is a proven teaching tool, writing papers. And taking them seriously and planning ahead of time to get them done is just another technique of self-management. All of my exams in college, Wendy, after my first year, were papers. I didn't have any like actual go and sit and take a test after my first year. It was all, that's what happens when you get a liberal arts education. It's all writing. And I learned very quickly, down to the minute, how long it would take me to write, you know, an X number of page paper. I knew I could write a 3-page paper in about an hour and a half. I knew a 10-page paper was going to take me, you know, 5 to 6 hours. Like, you learn how long it takes you to do this, and so that you can plan your time and take more time.
Yeah. And just to do the I went to school uphill both ways thing, we would have 3 hours, 3 questions, and we would have to handwrite our essays while we were invigilated. That's way hard. And that whole, I don't know that I could actually handwrite 3 pages now.
No. And that, did you use the blue books? Did you call them blue books?
No, we had exam books.
Exam books. Ours were called blue books. And it was a little paper notebook, like real, you know, only had like 15 pieces of paper in it where you would write out your answers.
Yeah.
Getting very nostalgic.
Yeah, aren't we? So the other thing that self-management means is getting yourself through rough spots. And as we've just been doing, getting all nostalgic about our college days, it wasn't easy and it wasn't without trials. And there are times where you'll struggle with the material. There's times where relationships with your professors or other students take more work than you would like. There are definitely days when you wish for the black and white rules of high school and not the kind of murky gray of college. High school, you had to be in the classroom, and if you wanted to leave to go to the bathroom, you had to ask. And if you did it too many times, your teacher would say, hey, you need to be sitting in this class and paying attention. Nobody's going to do that in college. And learning to get yourself through those moments when you might not want to be doing what you're doing, or you're just finding things difficult, is a really important lesson. Because life is like this, and it will always be like this. And up till now, I hate to tell you, you've been sheltered from it. And learning to get yourself through rough spots, the resilience skill, is a really important skill for success in life.
Yeah, I think I've read somewhere, Wendy, that the two biggest indicators of future success are the ability to delay pleasure and resilience.
Yes. I've read similar things.
Yeah. And then you get to be like us and be nostalgic about how hard it was when you...
Yeah, you can do that. I went to school both ways uphill and it was snowing.
And I had no shoes.
Yeah. And so the last thing that self-management means is balancing work, life, and fun. And that's what we've been talking about. And this balancing act will be there for the rest of your life. Work and fun and the other things that you want to do, the other people in your life, you will spend the rest of eternity trying to make everyone happy, trying to find balance, trying to make the ratio of each of the pieces of your life the right ratio. And if you do it wrong at college and you get a bad paper or you get a bad grade or you get talking to from your professor, you get those consequences really quickly. If you have been concentrating too much on fun, then the consequences of a bad paper come really quickly. Later in life, it's much harder to see that. You might be in a job and you think you're doing okay, and your boss suddenly says, hey, you're fired. And there's been really no indication to you as to what was happening. You don't even know that you're on that slope. And so if you've already learned a lot of these skills, then it makes getting into the workplace much easier. And we see a lot of people with workplace shock, as it were, who really don't adjust well to the fact that they always have to be in the same place. You know, they have to go to meetings, they can't have a nap, all those things.
Excellent. So shall we sum up?
Yeah, you go.
There are many reasons to go to college or university. Of course, you learn a lot in whatever area you decide to study, the academics, but there's 1,000 other things that you're also learning. And we've talked about a lot of them, referenced a lot of them, that are helping you to prepare to be an adult and develop the skills that you'll need to be successful for the rest of your life, not just at work, but in life in general. So be aware of what you're learning, pay attention, practice now while you have the opportunity to still practice in a relatively safe environment, and don't waste the opportunity. It's a great opportunity. And then you can be nostalgic like us.
Yeah, you can come on the podcast and be nostalgic for your college days like we are.
Awesome. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks, Danny. Bye, everyone. That's it this week. Come back next week for more.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want the how-tos of management wherever you are, check out the free Manager Tools mobile app. It's available on both iOS and Android devices. Go to the Apple Store or the Google Play Store and download the Manager Tools app. Just search for Manager Tools in the respective store, or go to the Manager Tools website, www.manager-tools.com, and you'll find the links on the bottom of the homepage. Once you've installed the Manager Tools app, you'll have access to all the Manager Tools and Career Tools shows anytime, anywhere you want. With easy searching of podcasts by category, using the map of the universe, or using built-in search functions, it couldn't be easier. Additionally, if you're Manager Tools personal licensee, you'll have easy access to all the show notes right from the app whenever you want. Go to the App Store and download the Manager Tools mobile app. You'll be happy you did.